So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto, and in this podcast, we're going to talk to you about the seven ways being an entrepreneur changed my life. Now, so I've been an entrepreneur probably since the age of 14 or 15. And I was selling floppy disks in school, you know, the 5 1/4 inch ones. So I was selling those in school, got to college. I was selling the little 3 1/2 inch disks because we'd moved on, twice as much storage. And then from there, we were selling hard drives, and then we started selling computers, and I was always buying and selling secondhand equipment, basically. There was a little magazine called Micromart, and in that magazine, you could buy stuff secondhand, and so I'd buy it, and then I'd put a local advert in the Yorkshire Evening Post, and then we'd sell that equipment. I would make £20-30 on each one. And it, you know, back in those days, I was 18, and that was great, you know, 18 to 21, really. So I've always done something like that. And what was funny about that was that I once got a job at Auto Trader. I know it wasn't Auto Trader, actually. It was Motor Mart, which is like Auto Trader's equivalent back in those days. It doesn't exist now, I don't think. So Motor Mart, and I used to be outbound calls, cold calling other people that had advertised in the Yorkshire Post or some of the three ad newspapers or Auto Trader as well. And it was really funny because on the outbound call, I would go, "Hey, it's Dan calling from Micromart." My supervisor kept calling me in going, "It's Motormart." And I'm like, yeah, sorry. It's because I sell computers off Micromart. So I thought that was quite funny. Anyway, I've been an entrepreneur for a long, long time, but I've also been an employee up to the age of 29 as well. So I've had a lot of time being an employee, always known that I've hated it and always wanted to be an entrepreneur full-time, really. And I don't like the word entrepreneur. Different people have all these labels attached to being an entrepreneur. Some say an entrepreneur is someone who's constantly broke, never makes any money, is failing at their business. Otherwise, they would call themselves a business owner. But I also like to think that, and I don't believe that, by the way, if you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. My definition is an entrepreneur is somebody who likes to start businesses up. You like the adventure of seeing what's going to happen. And I like that as an entrepreneur as well. Am I a business owner? Well, I've been in property 20 years. That's got to be treated as a business. We've owned several businesses, including a lettings agency, which we sold. We've had Porsche Hire. We've now got a digital marketing company. And I just enjoy creating a business and finding all the jigsaw puzzles as we go along, as we start to recruit more people and we start to systemize the business. So, you know, the letting agency had 20, 25 staff. Some of them, most of them actually at the time were, when we had 20, 25 were temporary. And so we had maybe between 5 and 10 full-time staff in two different departments, lettings and sales to some extent, and furniture. We had a really good furniture package business for which we still own the domain names. And at some point we might start that back up as long as it's systemized. Anyway, so as an entrepreneur or as a business owner, it gives you things that you don't get if you're an employee. And so it has changed the way I live my life fundamentally. I mean, for example, I couldn't work at a 9-to-5 job whilst living on the coastline of the Mediterranean, not in the UK. That would prove very, very difficult. So one of the things that it's given me is, number one then, is freedom of movement. And obviously we've got Brexit coming up. Freedom of movement is about to be curtailed for those people who want to live overseas easily, which is seen as a good thing for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. 17.4 million people think that's great to stop me working overseas or choosing where I want to work, wherever I want to work, when I want to work, and all of that kind of thing. So I don't necessarily agree with that. That's why I'm vehemently opposed to Brexit. But my acting as an entrepreneur gives me freedom of movement. If I want to go work from the States, I can go work from the States. All right, we need visas and all the rest of it. But I'm not tied down to an office. I, you know, every time I go away, regardless of if it's, you know, we went to New York this year, I took my laptop. Of course I'm going to take my laptop. I'm an entrepreneur. It's what entrepreneurs do. And obviously partners disagree with it. Not my wife anymore. She just knows that she's going to lose the argument. So we don't even have to discuss it. And she doesn't really mind anyway. She knows that that's what I do and that's who I am. And she married an entrepreneur. She knows that. If you didn't marry an entrepreneur and then you're now an entrepreneur or you're now married to an entrepreneur, that could cause a few extra hiccups along the way. Why can't you ever switch off? because we don't. That's not who we are. I will be doing this until I'm 80, 90, 100, hopefully. Look at Warren Buffett. He's just turned 89, I think it is. And he, was it 90? And he's still going. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not work if it's fun. Like, imagine getting up and going to work at Asda every day until you're 90. Like, that's different. What we do is awesome. We love what we do. We find it exciting. It gives us purpose. But with being an entrepreneur, it definitely gives us freedom of movement. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. We can work at any time. And actually, when we go away, it just looks really cool on Facebook. So if you go to New York and you run a podcast from Times Square, which I didn't do, I should have done, but I didn't. It just looks really awesome. Even though you're going on holiday and you're doing a little bit of work. Oh, that time I went to LA, we did a two-part video about working in LA, and it had, at Redondo Beach, had the dolphins swimming in the bay there. That was really awesome. But it just looks really cool. You look like you're doing really well. Regardless of whether you're doing really well or you are actually doing really well, it still looks cool either way. The joys of social media in 2019, eh? Anyway, the next one then, number two, is I get to work when I choose. So like this morning, I was up early, up at 7. That's early for me, by the way. But I wanted just to get a quick hour in. I'm actually fasting now. I'm on day 3, I think it is. And I've got more energy than I normally have. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get up. Because my body's not spending a lot of time digesting food. It's got more energy as well. So I woke up this morning and I managed to get some work done. I came downstairs and it's just that, you know, that quiet time before everybody comes downstairs. So that was nice. But I can work anytime. I can work at 2 in the morning. I can work at 8 a.m., 8 p.m. It makes no difference as long as I tie it into what we as a family are doing. And then if we're traveling or if we're going to England or if we're in England, I can, and you know, we're staying in a hotel, then, you know, normally we stay at the Queen's Hotel. Then we can I can go downstairs and I can work from the restaurant there, while the little one's asleep. So I can work whenever I want to work. And if actually I choose not to work, I can not work as well. But that is completely and utterly my decision. It always reminds me of The Office, where David Brent's working for himself. And he wakes up one morning and goes, shall we go into work this morning, David? No, not today, David. Let's have a sleep in, David. And he has to point out that that's him in bed by himself talking to himself. He's not in bed with a bloke called David. I just find that funny. So you can work when you choose to work. And if you choose not to work that day, then that's awesome. Obviously, however, the work has to be done at some point. And this is one of the things. Someone's just started cutting a hedge. Let's close the window on that. So one of the things that entrepreneurs often get wrong, well, I can work when I want. And it's like, yeah, like 60, 70 hours a week. That is not being an entrepreneur. That is owning a job that you can't escape from, where the job is dictating what you do. You are your job's bitch, and actually your job should be your bitch. You should be telling it what to do. Anyone who's complaining about the use of the word bitch, get over it, deal with it. You know, you understand the context upon which it's meant. Oh, can you believe, like, this is a problem with me too, right? It's 2019 and we have to cover what we say on every single thing. I saw an article, I should really do a Me Too rant. I saw an article about how men are now not very careful in terms of who they recruit and who they don't have one-on-one meetings anymore. Russell Brunson refuses to have a one-on-one meeting with a female. And then all the females who are on Me Too are now complaining about things like that. And Russell's like, I can't win. I can't have a meeting with a female in case you make something up. And I can't not have a meeting with a female because now I get abused this way. Anyway. Maybe the problem with a Me Too rant is you're going to lose that argument constantly and then you just look a twat. So we probably won't go down that path. If you want to have a chat about that on Facebook, then please come and have a chat and I'll explain it a bit more detail. All right, number three, income. My income has definitely increased. And it's funny how it's changed. I mean, bear in mind, I was doing 100 grand a year at Dell, okay? But my income has changed and my outgoings have changed. When I was doing 100 grand a year at Dell, I had to have a nice car, a nice house, for nice suits, for nice watch. Boy, I was spending a lot of money. And so the disposable income is higher. So do I earn more than that right now? Sometimes, some months, yes. You know, prorated over 12 months, yes, sometimes. But I don't earn more than that every month. But is my disposable income higher? Absolutely it is. And can we move that then into investments? Yes. And the reason for this is number four, which is tax planning. So let me just cover tax planning briefly and then we'll pop back to number three. Tax planning is I can now spend money on my car and offset that against my income, and then whatever's left is my available income that I then get taxed on. It's called pre-tax pound investing, okay? Not that buying a car is investing, but I can offset the cost of my car, my petrol, my laptop, my mobile phone. Especially if you're getting lease finance and that kind of thing, you can offset the whole bloody lot against your profits. You can't do that as an employee. You just can't offset anything. It used to be you used to be able to offset your mortgage interest. You can't even do that now. It used to be called MIRAS, Mortgage Interest Relief Something Scheme. You can't do that anymore. But I can plan my tax. Now, when my tax bill comes through, I can phone up the tax folks and go, okay, this is what it is. I need to pay this over 5 months. And sometimes they'll do it, sometimes they won't. But you've got like 8 months to pay it off anyway. So you find out your tax bill, 50 grand, and you go, great, 50 grand over the next 8 months is, what's that, is that, £4,000 a month? Great, done, paid. I'm in much more control over my tax planning than I could be as an employee. Which then takes me back to income. Because I now choose my hours and choose where to work, I can also choose the type of income that I decide to get. So in any business, you should have small, regular amounts, bang, 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 bang. That's what you live off, okay? And then every so often, you should have big amounts. You know, like when we source a property deal, it's £3,000 to £5,000. Bang, £5,000 in your pocket. Thank you very much. What are we going to use that for? Maybe pay down a mortgage debt. You know, if you've got a £60,000 mortgage debt, you just need 12 of those deals and you've paid off another house. How, you know, so let's just say one deal a month is 12 deals, £5,000 each deal. Bang, there's another house paid for. So obviously you've got some tax implication, but the tax implications come at the end of all of that, okay, at the end of the tax year. And then you can use some of the money from the asset that you've just generated to pay down some of that tax. That's how it works. This is how the income increases and your tax planning improves. And this means that you end up with a bigger gap between your disposable income. Like, this is how it works. This is why you should have a side hustle. And I'm not saying that you don't pay tax, by the way, because you absolutely should pay tax. But also, it is your legal duty to pay as little tax as possible, legally. It is your legal duty to pay as little tax as possible. And people go, well, you know, people need that tax for roads and the police. Do you know when I phoned the police? They hung up on me 3 times. You know when I went to family court and spoke to the judge? They just treated me like a piece of shit. You know when I needed help from a social worker, they just put the phone down on me as well. They were not interested. This is being a man, by the way. We're back to Me Too again, aren't we? This is the joys of being male in a female-dominated family court environment. Oh, we're on for a rant this morning. Good old Mondays. So, actually, I think I'll hang on to that tax, thank you very much, and not give it to the UK government where legally possible. And that word legally is absolutely vital. So we pay the tax as due to us, as due to the government legally, but we try and implement everything that we can that keeps us within the law to keep our tax planning on track. Because that money's better in my pocket, buying more assets, looking after my personal family, and giving it to the government, which funds people who are going to try and screw me over and ruin my life. So we are on for a proper rant today. number five, kids' events. I have complete and utter flexibility to turn up to my kids' event. And I've done many of them. We had one where Santa Claus turned up and to watch my little one's face as he walked in. By the way, I disagree with telling your kids Santa Claus is real. It's one of the things that really sends a cold shiver down my spine. Why do we lie to our kids? Oh, it's for the kids. It's just one thing. And then one thing leads to another. And one thing leads to another. And before you know it, they think getting a job is a good idea. kids events. I can go to sports day. I can go to events during the day, at evening, on a weekend. I'm in total control over my time. And I've done it where I've booked a call, like a coaching call. And my wife's gone, what have you booked that for? We've got, you know, an event there. And we just phone up and we change the event. And we've changed the call. We don't change the event. We change the call. Does a coaching client get upset? No, because we've built rapport and they understand kids are important. And most people know how important my kids are. Anyone's followed me through the family court process over the last 10 years will know how much money we've spent. A significant amount of money. It's one of the reasons why Oh God, why are we talking about that today? Because I had a phone call with my eldest daughter yesterday. That was why, probably. Anyway, kids events, we can turn up to those. And when I lived in the UK, I could just turn up to a kids event if it was sports day or any of that kind of thing. Obviously, it was like Daniel walking into the lion's den because all the teachers hate you because the ex works at the same school and so on. I used to quite enjoy that because you knew as soon as you stepped foot in that playground, you were winding people up just by being there, which is pretty cool. Anyway, kids events, you can turn up to anything you want. Now you try doing that. So let me tell you a story. I worked at Dell, as many of you know, and I was maybe 29 at this, and didn't have any kids then. And one of my friends who was like, he was 44, 47, maybe the same age as me now, actually. Maybe he was 47, I can't remember. Anyway, he came in, big Scottish lad, and he's in tears. I'm like, dude, what's up? And it's his kid's birthday. He's in Bracknell. He's Scottish. His family's up in Scotland somewhere, wherever they happen to be. And he's in tears. It's my kid's birthday tomorrow. And he's in a fucking hotel in Bracknell doing some shitty meeting. And they wouldn't let him have the day off. Like, seriously. What the... Like, if that was me, I would go, well, I'll tell you what you can do. How about you turn around? I'll shove this job right up your ass. How do you like that? How do you like them apples? We're definitely more aggressive today. And I apologise for that a little bit. But he was really upset. And I'm like, what do you say to a guy who it's like, he's 47, he's a grown man, and he's told that he can't take the day off. He has to go into work. Like, he's not nine. Do you know what I mean? He's not a child. He's a grown man. It's just crazy. It just blows me away, you know. And it's just a power trip from the people who were his bosses at the time. What knobs. Anyway, number six, recognition. And also, I call this significance as well. If you look at Tony Robbins' Six Human Needs, you've got significance being one of the main ones. You've got contribution, growth, and love. You've got variety and uncertainty. And then, obviously, you've got significance as well. But significance as being a self-employed person, you know, think about how we do this. We've got a podcast with hundreds of thousands of downloads. We've got a YouTube video with over 1.2 million views, like 1.2 million minutes watched with like 400,000 views. That for me gives my ego a boost. I like the significance. I like the recognition. I can't help that. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people become self-employed. And, it's like humble brag, hashtag, you know. But what's wrong with that? You put the work in, this is what you're going to get. I like it when I walk into a room and people come up to me and they know who I am. Or after, this happened at a networking event, after 5 minutes of speaking, this woman's looking at me a bit weird, like she recognises me. And she was trying to place where she'd heard my voice, and it's because she listened to these podcasts. And then she looked at my name badge, she's like, oh, I've just got it. I've downloaded and listened to all your podcasts. And you're like, awesome. Do you know what I mean? But totally random event, you know. But we get that recognition, and we enjoy that recognition. It serves us well. And I always like the line, work so hard so that you don't have to introduce yourself when you walk into a room. I love that as a concept. And obviously, when you're kind of a B celebrity in your niche, which I would probably be a D celebrity in my niche, which is usually property, but increasingly so on digital marketing, nobody knows who I am. At least that's what I keep saying to myself. And then someone comes up and goes, Dan! I listen to everything you do. I see we're friends on Facebook. I don't know who we are. We're friends on Facebook. How are you doing? You're like, oh, yeah, hi. No, not a clue. I've watched all your podcasts or all your videos, or I follow you on Facebook. Your rants are really funny. do you know what I mean? So that significance is really, really important. Now, how do you improve on that? Well, you put out more podcasts, you put out more videos, you put out more content, you put out more pictures of you so people know who you are. They understand your values. They understand your sense of humour. I'm constantly putting out funny stuff. It doesn't have to be my funny stuff, but it's just stuff that represents my type of humour. So you definitely get recognition. Now, can you get recognition as self-employed, as an employee? You absolutely can within the organisation. And that's it. Now, one of the things I should have done, going back all those years, back to before Dell, when I was just selling computers from either my house, or I used to work for a company in Leeds and we used to sell Sun servers and that kind of thing. You know, I should have been recording stuff like this, popping it onto a CD and posting it out. Boy, we're earning enough money then. We went from 15 to 100 grand in 4 years flat. We were definitely earning enough money to invest in my sales future. Would everybody have listened to it? No. Would some people listen to it out of interest? Of course. Would I have turned some people off? Of course I would. Great. Qualified themselves out, but didn't like me anyway. Would I have turned some people on in terms of, wow, this guy knows what he's doing? Yes. Would that have been an easier sale? Of course it bloody well would. This is why you should be doing podcasts and sending them to everybody that you know. All your customers should be getting a podcast. Now you can email it, but you should be active on that. And that's going to help you get more recognition and more significance. This is including if you're working as an employee. Because like how, if I work for Cardone University, for example, if I work for Grant Cardone, I should say, you know, one of the things that I would do is I would create my own podcast because they're there to help sell. Are people going to listen to your podcast? They're going to want to buy Grant Cardone stuff from you? Of course, absolutely. This is exactly what you should be doing. The more people know you, the more you're going to sell. It's as simple as that. And the more recognition you're going to get, which helps you sell even more. All right, number seven. Like, I could keep going on this list for, like, I reckon there's 100 different reasons why you should become self-employed. Or the seven ways that being an entrepreneur has changed my life. There's probably 100 different ways. And I can't go into them all. We're up to 20 minutes already. But the last one is I get to choose my environment. And that, by this, I mean two types of environments here. The first type of environment I get to choose is my location. So today, this morning, I'm sat in a villa in Spain, 100 metres from the beach. It's a little bit overcast today, but we're probably going to go to the beach hut for Granny Fado. I'm fasting anyway. Granny Fado kind of breaks the fast a little bit, but it's fine. It's not many calories. It's more sugar. It's fine. I can deal with it. Anyway, we're going to go there. I'm going to work from the beach hut for an hour, take the dog up with me as soon as it's overcast, not too hot for her. But I can choose my location. It's on the beach. The sea's right there. The skies are normally sunny, although, yeah, a little bit sunny, but a little bit overcast as well. It's sunny and overcast here is a thing, okay? It's like there's a couple of clouds. Sunny and overcast in England, in Leeds, is like, it's just cloudy. There's no sun. It's just not raining. So there's a big difference. But my location is really, really important. I can get to choose that environment. If I want to go work from a really nice five-star hotel, I can do that from the lobby or from around the pool if that's what I want to do. When I went to LA that time, I went and worked at the Beverly Hills Hotel in their restaurant. I went and had a $25 breakfast. Eggs Benedict was amazing. Highly recommend it if that's what you're going to do. But just go work from a hotel, from a nice environment. I had breakfast at the Bellagio when I went to Vegas that time. I love doing stuff like that. You don't have to stay at the thing. You can just go for breakfast, by the way. Most people don't know that. You can just go for breakfast. Like, the rooms are nice, do you know what I mean? Or sometimes they're not, a little bit old-fashioned. I thought the Beverly Hills Hotel was a little bit old-fashioned, quite frankly. But you could just turn up and go and have breakfast. Is it worth $25? Hell yeah. It's really nice. But you get to choose that location, okay? So that's the first type of environment. The second type of environment is you get to choose the people who you're going to work with. When you're working in a job as an employee, you generally don't get to choose the people that you work with. You know, sometimes there are knobs, and you can't hire or fire. But you accidentally hire an idiot in your own business, you can get rid of them. You've got to follow the rules, and we're always a believer in following the rules. But you can get rid of them. And you can build the environment of the people around you that you want to hang out with, that you want to work with. Or if you don't want to work with people, then you can book yourself into networking events and build a network of people who are doing better than you. I like Ty Lopez's idea. He does a third, a third, a third. And his idea is you spend a third of your time with people who are doing better than you, a third of the time with people who are on the same level as you, and a third of the time giving back to people who are further behind you. And I love that as a concept. But you get to choose what those numbers are. You could do 60, 20, 20. You could do 100, 0, 0. It's completely and utterly up to you. But you get to choose your environment, and your environment, when we look at the identity shell consists of all sorts of different things like values, experiences, education, skills, behaviors, habits. But one of them is, environment. Environment is one of the first things that we always look to change as a coach. So if you're in a crappy environment, crappy relationship, crappy friends, treat you like crap, never turn up when they say they're going to turn up, get rid of them. What are you putting like effort and energy into people like that? Get rid of them until you find someone who's, you know, who's not like that. So changing your environment includes both changing your location and changing the people you hang out with. So when we moved from Spain to the UK, my income definitely increased. And then my types of people that I hung out with decreased because I didn't know anybody when I went to Spain, but the quality of the relationships has increased, and the quality of the people that you're hanging around with, that's increased as well. I hang out with much more business owners who are doing very well, which is really cool. Whereas when you're at home, you hang out with people that you've known for 20 years. And whilst that might be okay every so often, having that as your regular environment isn't conducive to your success, and that's what you want. I'm not saying that you get rid of all those friends, but once a month is fine. Once a year, you know, perfect. Or more or less, completely up to you. But if it's like 90% of your friends, hanging out with them, playing Xbox, watching Netflix, it's just not going to work. So your environment is chosen by you. Obviously, just as the guy whose kid's birthday it was, he had to go all the way to Bracknell into Dell. Well, he couldn't hang out with anybody else. He had no choice than to hang out with Muppets at Dell. People who think that working at Dell is the be-all, end-all. They have mini orgasms when Michael Dell turns up. You know, quick, look busy. Jesus is coming. Do you know what I mean? So, not that absolutely wasn't for me. That's for sure. Michael Dell's here. Fucking what? Do you know what I mean? It's funny. So, you get to choose that environment. And that, for me, are the top seven reasons. There's many, many, many more. But if you're not managing all of those stuff. So we've got freedom of movement, work when I choose, my income goes up, I can tax plan better, I get to kids events, I get better significance, and I can get to choose my environment. All those things are very, very powerful things. Right, we've gone on far too long here, so look, we'll call it there. I hope that's useful for you. Give me some feedback, hope you enjoy it, let me know how it's going for you, and we'll catch up with you soon. My name's Dan Latto, take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening, really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.